Hello and welcome to the NeoGamer podcast. It is Tuesday, July 3rd, as you're listening to this, but as we're taping this, and yes, we are taping this podcast this week, it is Sunday, July 1st. The reason we're taping this 26th episode of the NeoGamer podcast is that our good compatriot Tim has some previous obligations which he has to meet, and we won't be able to do it live this week. So we are going to be, this is coming to you completely recorded a couple of days ago. So I'm John Callahan as always, and Tim as always is handling our recording for us. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm actually going to off to meet Brad Sams from Neowin on Wednesday. So
yes,
that's exciting for me, and that's pretty much why I can't do the podcast. But yeah, doing a recording, yes. So it's all good.
Yes, Brad is actually in Australia as we are taping this recording. We're taping or recording this recording. He's already there, and he's actually going to be covering the big worldwide finals of the Microsoft Imagine Cup competition, which, and just in case you're not familiar with it, it's basically the students who have come up with all of these new concepts, and they're trying to impress Microsoft. And, you know, usually Steve Ballmer shows up for these things, so maybe we'll get some inside stuff from Steve from that. So
yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, and it's winter down there in Australia right now, so it's definitely a lot cooler down there, I imagine, than it is right now here in Greer, South Carolina, where it's 106 degrees.
Yeah, wow. It's reasonably cold here for Australia, so...
Yeah. And Larry, I know you... Larry, of course, has joined us as well for his recorded podcast. How you doing, Larry?
Good, John. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I was just, like I said, just before we started recording, I was just telling them that my power went out for like 3 seconds, just a couple minutes before I signed on to do our podcast, so that was kind of sucky.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's just hope it doesn't go out here. Even if it does, I guess we could edit it, though.
That's true. That's the beauty of having it recorded, is everything can be edited, but although we'll try and do as little... We try to do as little editing as possible, but yeah. So we've had our little quirks and changes for this particular version of the podcast. And like I said, we're actually taping this a couple of days ahead of time, but thankfully we've got two things going for us. One, it's actually a fairly slow week in terms of new game releases, so that's cool. The other thing is that we still have quite a few things to talk about in terms of gaming news, thankfully. First thing I want to talk about is something that you mentioned to us just before we came online, Larry, is that you actually played Spec Ops The Line this week.
Yes, I have.
What did you guys think of that?
I was beyond impressed, actually. I really expected... Yeah, it's... It could put. It's right now my sleeper game of the year. I think I was beyond shocked, and it's actually a very good game. Wow. And I think the Metacritic scores aren't that harsh for it. I think it's somewhere in the like low 70s or maybe even 80s. I'm bringing that up now, but I'm sure Tim will beat me to it. But no, I really have to say I was just pleasantly surprised. I almost shocked is the word.
Really?
It has great gunplay, which, you know, for that type of game, that's the most important thing. The guns have to feel good, and it's just a really, the best way I would put it, it's a high-end shooting gallery. It's just a classic video game where the goal is to shoot everyone, but it's really fun to shoot them. And the thing that actually pleasantly surprised me is the story itself. It's kind of, I saw some reviews relating it to Apocalypse Now, actually, and I kind of get those reviews, even though it's nowhere near as deep as that movie, and, you know, I think that's a brilliant movie myself, and it was just a very deep, poignant movie, you know, and this game...
Oh, yeah.
It kind of touches on that. It's all about the darker side of war, and the fact that it's not pretty. And I have to say, I was absolutely shocked by the story. And I think a lot of people will wind up playing this game just based on word of mouth, because I actually think it's pretty much that good. It's pretty. I think they were maybe smart releasing it when they did, because they do have no competition, and I do think word will get out. But yeah, I beat the game
mm-hmm.
3 days, which for me is like a record. I usually, you know, nowadays I just don't have that much time to play, but it just shows I wanted to keep playing and keep playing, and just a really good game. I can't recommend
really?
It. Yeah. I'm again pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I don't know if I could say pay full retail for it, because I did rent it.
Right.
But I think it's a single-player experience that if people like third-person shooters, it's almost a no-brainer. It's one of the better third-person shooters I've played in a while, actually. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually in my queue of, like, things, of, like, a list of things to get. It's in there. It's been sort of tossing up between getting it and not getting it. But, yeah, I think I will check it out, thanks to your recommendation. So, we'll see how that goes. Did you play it on Xbox?
No, PS3, actually.
Oh, okay.
PS3. And, you know, the performance was stellar, too. I really don't think that's that big of an issue these days on the PS3, but like I was saying, with Dead Island, it was an issue. But, yeah, performance was fantastic, really. I didn't notice any slowdowns, just very minimal tearing. And that's another thing. The visual style is actually pretty cool. They're not breaking any records with their graphics, but it's got a pretty cool art direction as well. It's kind of morbid.
Really? Because I was wondering about the graphics, because they kind of look a little subpar to me from what I saw of the screenshots and gameplay videos I've seen.
You know, from a technical standpoint, the graphics aren't that impressive. But just from an art direction, from a, you know, just a visual style itself, it's a pretty cool visual style. That's what I was trying to get across. But yeah,
okay.
I mean, I think the PC game still uses DirectX 9, if I read correctly. So yeah, this game isn't going to win any graphic awards, that's for sure. But you know, it's not that important to this game, and I do think it does a pretty good job with the sandstorms and all that. It's not that big of a gimmick. I thought it was going to be a bigger gimmick than it wound up being. So yeah, I would just say, if anyone was thinking about playing the game, you know, I hope I could lean you towards playing it, because I think it's worth playing. So.
What about the sandstorm stuff? That was kind of played up a lot in the previews. Does that work out fairly well?
Yeah. Like I really think it actually does. The visual component of it is cool, like I was just saying, and the audio, and you can't, in the game, you really can't do all that much when there is a sandstorm. You could shoot a little, but, you know, and that's not really spoilers. I'm not really ruining anything. It's more gameplay. But it's just a cool little, it happens from time to time, and it's actually part of the story and all that, so it's kind of interesting. I do think that wound up working out well, and they don't overuse it. They could have really abused it, but instead, I think they use it where it makes sense. So, yeah, I really don't have, the only negative thing I would say about it is the AI is really kind of dumb. But like I said when I started this out, to me this is more of a shooting gallery game. The point is to have fun, and you know that's what it's about. That you're not going to be really coming up with strategies or anything. You're just going to be shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good recommendation. Excellent. All right. So so this week, in the past week, we've had some. If you're a big fan of Team Fortress 2, which I am, you probably saw that we got a pretty big update this week. And we also got a little unexpected surprise, which was, they didn't actually release this yet, but they're going to be coming out with the way to create videos with Valve's Source Engine inside, which is kind of cool. Basically, they're calling it the Source Filmmaker, and if you've seen all of the Meet the videos that Valve has released for the Team Fortress 2 characters, you know what the Source Filmmaker is capable of. You know, you can do all sorts of cool and detailed things with, and it's actually in a beta state right now, and they're going to release it to the public later this year. And this is just yet another example of Valve, you know, giving back to the game community with all sorts of free stuff that, you know, normally would probably a lot of people would probably charge for, you know. And I think we'll probably see a lot of cool videos coming out from this new Source filmmaker. I mean, from what I've seen of it, it looks fairly easy to use. I mean, even I could probably use it, and I'm terrible when it comes to development tools. So have you guys seen the news, the Source filmmaker news?
I did see a bit of the news, but to be honest, I'm not really much of a Team Fortress 2 person. But yeah, it does look cool for the people who want to, you know, make their own Team Fortress films. So yeah, good for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Team Fortress, or expand it to all Source.
I think you can use it for all sorts of things. In fact, if I understand it correctly, you know, if you don't if you just create your own assets, if you don't use any assets from any other games and just make your own and use the Source filmmaker to make your movies, you can probably release these kinds of films commercially, and Valve will be like, okay, that's cool. You don't have to. They're not going to charge you for the use of it, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, nice.
So.
Maybe I can finally make my horror movie.
Well, there you go. Exactly. So, I mean, this kind of brings up something else, because we've seen more and more of these kinds of game development tools being released for free and for anybody to use. We've seen, you know, the Unreal Engine. There's the UDK version, which anyone can download and make games for free if they don't, you know, get a commercial license for them. Crytek released a free version of the CryEngine 3, and there are all sorts of other stuff. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know, we've seen these kind of development tools released a lot, and correspondingly, we've seen a lot of new games, free and otherwise, released on these platforms since that time. And so, you know, all of this just means, I think, it kind of creates its own little economy in some ways. You know, releasing all these free game tools means that, you know, more games are released, you know, more people pay for the games themselves, and that makes the game industry itself bigger.
Yeah, it's certainly good for everyone. So yeah,
I would think, you know, and it kind of just, you know, when you see, you know the corporate folks try to charge for an expansion pack for just a couple of multiplayer maps, you're kind of going, why are you doing that?
Yeah, so, gone are the days of the free update that brings a multiplayer map. Activision.
Yeah, Activision seems to want to charge for everything. You know, Valve doesn't do that, at least not for the PC platform. They when they release an update, it's always for free. You know, that, in fact, I think they're going to be releasing an update of Left 4 Dead 2 on July 24th. They just announced that a few days ago. It will have all of the previously unreleased maps for Left 4 Dead 1 now converted for Left 4 Dead 2, plus an all new campaign. That's all cool.
Yeah, definitely. My only thing is, if I were to play Devil's Advocate, is Valve's kind of in a unique position where they can do this. And what I mean by that, you know, they have their own little universe going on, kind of. So they're incredibly smart, and I really appreciate the fact that they do it. But I don't necessarily fault all other studios for not doing it, because, again, I think Valve's kind of in a unique position now. With that said, people could still release free maps and all that. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, I just think Valve is so in tune with the community, and they really know what keeps their fan base happy, and they just do it right. You know, they're without a doubt the example.
Yep. Definitely. The some other news that's coming up. There was some interesting. You guys remember last week we talked about how Blizzard put in some restrictions for people who bought the digital only version of Diablo 3. You know, specifically keeping players from playing just you're only playing just the Act 1 and the level going up to level 13 in the game for up to 72 hours while they approved you. Well, now Blizzard has now released another patch that lifts both those restrictions. So thankfully, you can play the full game without having to, you know, wait 72 hours. Now, Blizzard has, you know, has since said that was a bug and not a feature. You know, they kind of backtracked on that. But at least, you know, I think they kind of heard the fans kind of yelling at them and said, you know, we need to change that.
Yeah. So it's good for people who buying the game now and they're not annoyed by these really dodgy restrictions.
Yeah. Of course, there's not. There are still a few minor things they can't do in 72 hours. They can't participate in the global play stuff. You can't play in one. If you're in the Americas section, you can't play with another player in the Asian section for 72 hours. You also can't participate in either of the real world or in-game money auctions, which we'll actually talk about in a little bit. But they're not necessarily gameplay related. You know, you can still play the game. You can still play with friends, you know, locally. You know, and so like I mentioned last week, I thought their decision was really poorly chosen, and also the fact that they tried to kind of cover it up a little bit by saying this is now a bug and not a feature. So.
Hmm.
So anyway, that's so much for that. Some very sad news, actually, in the game development world this week. Radical Entertainment, which is based in Vancouver, these are the guys that created the prototype games one for the now-defunct Vivendi games and the other for both of them came out for Activision. They're basically... You know, they don't want to say that they're shut down, but they're basically shut down. They shut down on Thursday. Activision is officially saying that there are massive layoffs and that there'll still be a few people who are going to be sticking around, but Radical Entertainment won't be making their own games anymore. They'll be working on other games developed by other Activision developers mostly. So and basically it was the sales of the Prototype 2, which came out in April for consoles, that basically did them in, even though it was actually the number one game in April. It just didn't sell enough copies to, I guess, consider doing another sequel, which is kind of sad. I really love the Prototype games.
Yeah, so do I. So that is sad, but... I guess it's considering the reviews that the game got, it's not particularly surprising that a whole bunch of people didn't buy it, especially considering how similar it turned out to be to the first prototype game. But yeah, and to say it's the best-selling game in April doesn't really say much, considering it's probably the only game that actually came out in April.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you guys recall, but I talked about how I checked it out, probably like around episode 18 or something like that, whenever it was, and I don't know, it never drew me in, and I think that's what I wound up saying, that it just kind of seemed like Prototype 1.5, and I wound up sending it back to Gamefly only after about checking it out for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I don't know, I mean, as decent of a game as I think it was, even though I didn't play it, like I could see how people enjoyed it, but that's also a pretty competitive landscape that they're in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The open world action game is indeed very competitive, you know. You may remember that Activision had another open world action game that they were working on called True Crime Hong Kong, and they actually canceled the development, and then Square Enix came in and basically took it over. And it's now going to be called Sleeping Dogs when it finally comes out later this August. So We'll see if Activision had the right idea or if Square Enix had the right idea on that.
Yep.
So another bit of news that came out. There's a developer called 17-Bit Studios has been working on some time on a game called Skulls of the Shogun. A few months ago, well, actually a few weeks ago, they announced that the PC version of the game would be Windows 8 only. If you want to play it on the PC, you can only play it if you have Windows 8 installed. And this week, they announced that it will be cross-compatible. They will be releasing versions for Windows 8, for the Xbox 360, and also for Windows Phone 8, and they will be cross-platform multiplayer across all three different devices. So that's basically the first time that this kind of thing has been done for these three main platforms. And I think this is kind of a little bit of an experiment by Microsoft, because obviously they've been trying for some time to kind of merge their development across their multiple operating systems and platforms. And it looks like they're trying to try this again with this particular game. So what do you guys think about that?
Tim?
Oh, sorry. Hang on. I was just looking up sleeping dogs.
Okay.
What kind of game? What kind of game is this, John?
This is actually a kind of a strategy, a fantasy turn-based strategy game with RPG elements, fantasy-based games. Obviously, with Skulls of Shogun, you expect some kind of Asian influence. They're also saying that the game will have it will not just be based on Windows 8. It'll also have you'll also have touchscreen interfaces for the if you have a tablet or a touch-based desktop, you'll be able to handle the multi-touch interfaces, which is interesting, along with a keyboard and mouse interface and a gamepad interface. So they're going to go all out on this one.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder, though, they're probably going to miss out on a fairly sizable market by not making it Windows 7 or below compatible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, especially who've tried out the release preview and things like that, probably aren't going to upgrade considering the whole Metro start menu thing. So they are they will be, you know, missing out on a huge bunch of people who, you know, aren't going to upgrade. So it's a very strange decision.
I don't think it's necessarily that strange, because I think that Microsoft is actually going to be publishing this game itself. You know, so I think that Microsoft wants to show that these kinds of games can be cross-platform across their phone, their game console, and their PC platforms. I think they're showing this with this particular example. So I think that, you know, the development team probably got a little bit more money than normal to kind of make it cross-platform and also make it a Windows 8 exclusive for the PC.
Yeah, but I don't think that the Windows 8 exclusive aspect will draw people to Windows 8 more. It won't draw people to the game. And that's, I guess, unfortunate for those people who spent all that time making the game. So,
well, it is still coming out on the Xbox 360, and it'll probably have a pretty good... it has a pretty big audience for that. So,
That's fair enough.
So there'll probably be some people who will pick it up on that game. I do agree that obviously limiting it to Windows 8 on the PC side is, you know, we definitely won't see a million downloads on the PC when it comes out on Windows 8. So,
I think it's more of a kind of like what you said in the beginning, more of an experiment. I think they're kind of doing it to say this is the future, because I do think, ultimately, this type of approach is kind of the future. Sony's already testing it with the Vita, you know, Microsoft now with the Glass Surface thing, and now their Surface tablets. I think it's just kind of the future. Sorry, my dog just bit me.
It's all right. Sorry.
So yeah, I think I think they're kind of chalking up the fact that they're going to lose some sales more to the marketing aspect of things, and
right,
saying, you know, this is what's coming. Isn't it cool? Because I do think it's cool. My biggest thing, though, is the biggest question I have when hearing about it is, how's the Windows Phone version going to be? Like, how
exactly,
you know, how stripped down of an experience is it? Is it really the game, or is it just a little like meta game for the game? That's what I'm curious about. You know,
I am right there with you, Larry. I think that will be the big test. Is, you know, I think it'll probably look great on the Xbox 360. I think it'll play great on the Windows 8. You know, but what will the Windows Phone aspect look like? I don't think we've actually seen that aspect of the game yet. But if this catches on, we'll probably see more games made for Windows 8 that can be easily ported to the Windows Phone 8 and also for Xbox 360. And if that happens, it'll, you know, if Windows 8 turns out to be a big hit, you know, and that's a pretty big if at this stage, we'll see. It could turn out to be pretty plentiful for Microsoft. And like you said, you know, Sony's trying to do this with the PS Vita and the PlayStation 3 on things like the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale game and things like that. So we'll see what happens with that. Some news from the MMO side of things. Guild Wars 2. This is a game that was announced in 2007. 2007, folks. And jeez, it is finally coming out on August 28th. That is the plan, anyway. This is the folks from developer ArenaNet, based in the Seattle area, and publisher NCSoft. This is a sequel to their semi-MMO game, Guild Wars, which came out, I believe, in 2004. Wow. I say semi because it's not really that's not necessarily a true MMO. Had some features that you would lack in some other MMO games, but this one is being branded about as a real MMO game, but with the advantage of having no monthly subscription fees. You'll just basically, it's basically a hybrid between a play to free game where you can download and play stuff for free and then get through microtransactions. Here you have to pay, you know, $50 or $60 for the debt to download the game and you play, but you can also get microtransactions for other stuff. So there's that. But you can still play the game quite a bit for free after you pay for the initial game. And it's been pretty, I mean, the original Guild Wars was very successful with that kind of model. And with the monthly subscription business model for the MMO game kind of going by the wayside, I think this game will probably be pretty successful. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It was actually, the original Guild Wars came out in 2005. But they announced the sequel in 2007.
Still, it's a long time. It's a long time for a sequel.
Yep. It's still a long time for between two games. So,
yeah. I'm not sure whether I would prefer to pay for the game and then do microtransactions or pay for the game and then get a monthly subscription fee but not have to do microtransactions. I'm not sure which one would be better for me, but I'm not sure. Maybe I guess you would save money by not doing the monthly subscription fee. So I guess if it's successful for them, you know, it keeps the consumers happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to pay for a game like, you know, a Call of Duty game or a BioShock game or something like that, or an Elder Scrolls 5 game for $50 or $60. You know, and then, you know, I think you'd be able to, I think you'd be fine by playing that sort of amount for a Guild Wars 2. So,
yeah. Which is, like, I'm not a fan at all of the whole pay to win sort of thing. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just could be, I'm not sure whether it'd be better to pay outright and get everything or just, you know, pay as you go for little bits. It's just something that's always been on my mind, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm looking forward to the game, actually. I played Guild Wars 2 quite a bit when it first came out, and I quite thoroughly enjoyed it. And so I'm really looking forward to the next game. And this is probably going to be NCSoft's biggest game, you know, release ever, because they've had a fairly not good track record in the past few years. They came out with a couple of games that, you know, they basically shut down a year after they were released. You know, anybody remember Auto Assault? Do you remember Auto Assault, Larry?
It sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
It came out, I forget exactly when, but it kind of, but about a year later, it kind of shut down with just nobody was cared to play it. And then perhaps their biggest failure was Tabula Rasa, which was Richard Garriott's sci-fi MMO game that came out. I forget exactly when that came out, but like a year later, a little over a year later, they shut that game down because nobody was playing it. So really, NCSoft needs a big hit, and I think they're thinking that Guild Wars 2 is probably going to be it.
Yeah, no, you know, no offense towards them at all, but I always kind of associated their name with budget titles. Like, know a lot of clone games that they've released, you know, like 4 months later, instead of Modern Warfare, it's Future Warfare or something like that. Like, they always kind of seem to release those type of games. So, you know, more power to them. I know Guild Wars has a fairly loyal following, so I do think if anything's going to do it for him, it's this game. So, you know, good luck to them, definitely. But I also have to question the whole microtransaction versus monthly subscription. I'm sure it works out to be that people could spend way much more money on the microtransaction stuff than the monthly subscriptions. So that's what they're banking for, that there'll be people that will spend just about the same as a monthly subscription, maybe a little less, but then those people who will just go overboard and wind up spending like the amount for 5 monthly subscriptions per month or something like that. So I think I think they're cleverly hiding the real reason why they want to do it, and I think there's potential for more money. So, you know, not my cup of tea. I've always said MMOs aren't my thing, but
yeah, neither mine.
Yes, but you know, good luck with them. And I have seen a lot of people online talk about how they like it, and you know, so I hope it's successful for them.
Yep, indeed. So, and I guess that's all we're going to, in terms of news, let's talk about. Since we're taping this on Sunday but broadcasting on Tuesday, I'll just quickly mention that there's not really a lot of games coming out in the next week. I think the biggest one, at least here in the States, is NCAA Football 13 for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 for EA, for U.S. college football. The Ice Age Continental Drift game is supposed to be coming out that week, too. So that's the kind of stuff that we have to look forward to.
Yeah, not much for a while. I've actually been catching up on, you know, games that I've missed from the past few years, because there's not many releases these days.
Yep, indeed. So, and yeah, not much coming out downloadable either for the next week. And do you guys anything else you guys want to mention?
Well, I guess I could mention, I was playing just this week, I tried out Metro 2033 for the first time. I'd had a copy sitting around for ages for PC, but my PC wasn't very good at playing it back in like 2010 when it came out. But I upgraded my PC this week, got back into PC gaming, and I tried out Metro 2033 as my first title, and I've got to say, I don't know why I played Xbox games full-time for so long, because the graphics in that, they're outstanding. I mean, I haven't seen lighting like that for years. So it just puzzled me why I went to Xbox. I guess it's good for multiplayer and all that, but yeah, it just reminded me how good it is to play PC again, and the game itself is actually really good. I've been enjoying the whole survival horror type thing. So I'm looking forward to the sequel is coming out next year.
The sequel is coming out next year from THQ and developer 4A Games. I got to see a live demo at E3 a few weeks ago. It looks awesome. If you think the graphics look good for the first game, you should be blown away by the look of the sequel, Tim. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah.
At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah. And I'm glad my PC can play it pretty much on full graphics. So
cool.
I'm not
What kind of graphics card do you have on it now? Just curious.
I had an AMD HD 4850 from way back, and I upgraded it to an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 560 Ti. One of the MSI Hawk ones, which is it was factory overclocked, but it has a really awesome cooler on it, which is silent. So I'm really happy about that purchase.
I bet that's a pretty sweet graphics card for a PC nowadays. So that's great.
Yeah, it's sort of the in the price bracket before you get to the ridiculously
really
expensive ones. Yeah. That start every graphics card up. You have to spend like $100 or $150 more. So,
right.
It was pretty much on my budget limit. I'm really happy with it. I've been really enjoying getting back into the PC gaming experience. And
great.
If you've been playing console games for a while, you should really check it out because it is.
Yeah.
It really shows you how aging the Xbox 360 and PS3 are. Especially it's the lighting.
It's so many things. The lighting, the anti-aliasing, the resolution. Yeah. Just think about the fact most games that we play on the Xbox, the resolution is usually like 760 by something. It's so subpar. It wasn't even like, it's not even a good resolution for CRT monitors 15 years ago. Like,
yeah, a lot of games are upscaled 720p so that you're playing it on 1080p, but it's actually just rendering it in 720 and doing a really terrible job of upscaling.
It's only 1280 by 720. It's barely running at 30 frames per second. Like, the starkest example I've ever seen of the whole graphics better on PC thing was I had rented Battlefield 3 for the Xbox 360, right? And that weekend, my wife happened to be going away, so once in a blue moon, I lug my computer from in my office, and I have this big clunky thermal take tower, but I lug it downstairs and hook it up to my 55-inch TV, and I had Battlefield in true 1080p, 1920 by 1080, running like 68 frames per second according to Fraps, everything on high, and then I would switch over to the Xbox, and it was unbelievable the difference. I mean, like, it was
serious. It really is.
It was night and day. Like, I'm not even kidding. That's why I'm with you. I don't know how many people, why more people aren't making the switch right now. It's a good time to do it, and you know,
expensive.
It really is.
That's the thing. My graphics card was about the price of a console just for the card itself.
So I guess
that is a downside.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can still get good, great PC graphics even on a relatively cheap desktop PC. You may have to spend a little bit more than, you know, $199 console or something like that, but it's like so many times more worth it if you want to have better graphics and a better, you know, immersive experience. I think anyway.
What I'm really looking forward to now is what Microsoft will do with Windows 8 with Xbox Live, because I'm a big fan of the whole achievements and gamerscore thing, and I know you can get achievements through Steam, but I'm hoping that a lot of games will support, if they do include something like that, will support Xbox Live, so I can continue my gamerscore increasing on Windows. So
yeah, well, you can do that already, actually.
Yeah,
games for Windows Live games, you know, also
but few and far
have their own achievements.
Yeah.
They are few and far between, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they ramp that up a bit so I can, you know, my gamer score is like 25,000 or something, so it's nice to get a bump with that every time you play a game, and I enjoy achievements too, so.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the problem with the games for Windows Live was the implementation, and, you have to wonder is, it was terribly done, and you have to wonder if Microsoft has learned any lessons when they switch over to the Xbox Live model for Windows 8. You know, if it works out better, then you will see more games supported. If you're not, we'll see PC games say, well, we're going to go with Steam, thank you very much, you know.
Yeah, I think it would be best to have both, to be honest. Like, being able to choose whether you implement Steam if you're a Steam fan, or, you know, Xbox Live if you prefer the GamerScore side of things. So
I don't know. I think they're gonna try and choose one or the other, to be honest. I don't think I've ever heard of a game that's come out that supported both games for Windows Live and Steam achievements at the same time. And I don't think that's gonna be the same when,
or
Xbox,
could be
when they do the Xbox Live.
Or it could be depending on the copy you buy. But it doesn't, I'm not really sure. I'm just hoping, I guess they probably won't do that.
It's something to ask Microsoft. I'm going to try and get Microsoft to get some... Now that we're basically 3 months before the release of Windows 8, hopefully Microsoft will be a little more forthcoming about some of the details they'll have regarding gaming and their Xbox Live service on Windows 8. So hopefully we'll find out more about that, you know, before the Windows Live comes out.
Hmm. And the whole Xbox Live thing is admittedly great on the Xbox 360 for multiplayer games.
Oh, sure.
It's definitely superior to PCs, but
yeah,
graphics wise, you know, can't look past a good PC game.
No, nope, you can't. Any other topics you guys want to bring up tonight?
I think I'm good. I've got my PC gaming story out of the way. So, yep.
Cool. Larry, you have anything else?
No, just that The Walking Dead episode 2 came out.
Came out on Friday, on the PC anyway.
Yeah, which is a weird release day, so I'm going to probably try to check that out soon. And I did check out the first area of Lollipop Chainsaw. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, right? Lollipop Chainsaw. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And no real feelings as of yet.
I just the whole name just turns me off, Lollipop Chainsaw. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Can they come up with a better name than that? I don't know.
It's a weird game, and I'm leaning towards I don't like it, but I'm not going to say that just yet, because I did only play the first one. But it's, the controls so far are, I can't stand fighting games where it's, you press a button and something seems to happen 2 seconds later.
Why do they do that? All that frustrates me when that happens.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. That's your core mechanic. It's your core gameplay. And you would think that they would get that down pat, you know? Like, I don't know. So, it just seems to be crazy for the sake of being crazy. And, you know, I don't think there's that much more to it. So I might not even play much more of it, to be honest. So, yeah. That's what I'll be checking out.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys for listening to us on this recorded version of the Neo Gamer podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening in, all of you guys that do every week. We're sorry we're not able to do the live streaming. Next week, we will have live streaming, but I won't be here to join you. I'm actually be on a semi-vacation with my wife. I will be in San Diego to attend the San Diego Comic-Con. And hopefully reporting on some stuff while I'm there.
All right, cool. Enjoy that.
Going to say, enjoy that and try to relax. Try not to do too much work. You deserve.
I'll try not to do too much work, and that's why I'm not doing the podcast. But there's supposed to be a lot of games being shown at the event, both inside the show itself and also outside the show. Basically, Comic-Con has basically broken out of the convention center and has kind of spilled out into the streets of San Diego with all these companies. Like, I think Microsoft and EA have had their own, you know, little sections of the city blocked out for their own showing off upcoming games. And they're going to be showing off new games and making announcements. You know, I think they said they're going to show off Assassin's Creed 3. They're going to show off Capcom games. They're going to show off more of Halo 4. Like, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, everybody's, you know, all, you know, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo will all be there. I think, you know, they don't show up for every all three don't show up for every single event, so that's kind of cool too. So, and we'll probably see some movie stars and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be that. So I hope you guys enjoy Larry and Tim. I know they'll do an excellent job without me talking about games and whatnot. And until next week, when we'll be back again doing the streaming live show, this is John for Larry and Tim. They will see you back next week, and I'll see you back in 2 weeks. Until then, see you later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.